Yeah, praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And we have been trusting God and learning from the book of Acts. And yesterday we started seeing of how the importance of staying faithful and staying diligent to the God-given assignment. And we were able to see how the apostles were faithful, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of persecution. And they basically asked, you tell us what is better to obey. Is it better to obey you, men, or to obey God? And they say that, you know, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree, but God exalted to his right hand to be Prince and Savior, and to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And they said, and we are witnesses to these things. So also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. So they are saying, look here, we are witnesses, and we cannot but be silent. We will speak what God has told us. We have seen the resurrection. We have seen what God has done, and we will obey God. And beyond that, when they wondered what to do, then I think Gamaliel, who is a doctor of the law, the teacher of the law, and is respected, told the, you know, the council clearly that, you know, that we are experiencing this. There was this Theudas who came before, then there was Judas who drew men to them, and when they were killed, nothing was left of them. And he said, leave these guys alone. If what they are doing or their plan is of the hand of man, it will die out. But if it is of God, you will find that you are fighting God yourself. And no one can fight God and win. So eventually they understood that and they decided to allow time. And what we can see is that that thing was not of man, because it did not die off, and it has stayed till today. Despite the persecution, despite the challenges, the gospel has spread, and each and every of these witnesses were ready to die for the gospel, for the message they have believed. And that is why when it says they are witnesses, the word there is matureo. And that means that it goes beyond martyr. But we know we use it for, it's where the word martyr came from, but we use it originally, it's supposed to mean a witness, and a witness before court. And remember, when we were speaking using the theme of witnesses, we were able to see that what is happening is that they are coming forth as witnesses of the resurrection of the Christ. And remember, the world has put Jesus on trial, or rather has put Jesus on trial. Is Jesus God? And then the apostles come as witnesses. They say, yes, he is God. One, because we have seen his miracles. We have seen his signs and wonders that God performed through him. Number two, we know that he died, and we were there when he died. He was crucified publicly, and he resurrected. And we are witnesses of his resurrection. And number three, they say, also the Holy Spirit that we have today, and he is doing these miracles through us, in the name of Jesus. And that gives us the third witness of his resurrection. So if you don't want to believe that Jesus was there doing miracles, then that's hard, because all of you and everyone was aware that he did miracles. Number two, that he was crucified and that he died and was buried, that is also a witness, and we are witness of it. You cannot argue with that, because it was a real experience. We held his hands, we held his feet, we touched his side, we ate with him, and we saw the resurrected Lord. And number three, you cannot argue the power by which we have raised this crippled man. We have raised this man, a lame from the mother's womb, who is over 40 years old. We have done these notable miracles, and by these notable miracles done in the name of Jesus, and by belief and faith in him who is resurrected, then we have the witness that he is alive. And now, what is our witness today? The presence of the Holy Spirit inside of us, by which we have the assurance, especially when we give our lives to Jesus, of the peace that we feel that we are forgiven of our sins, then that is a witness to us today that we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit bears witness to us that we are children of God. The Bible says the Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are sons of God, and that is why we are no longer slaves to fear. We are not given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of sonship. So when the Holy Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we are sons of God, that we have a Father, then that is also a witness of the resurrection, and that is a witness of Christ, and that is what makes us witnesses. And now, when you grow into that, then you also now become a minister. And remember, you know, when we call someone a minister is a servant to the body of Christ. That means you serve God, who is up on high, by serving men. And this is something that, a principle that we have to understand, that we cannot, like, just like the same way John, the books of the epistles to John, say that you cannot love God and hate your fellow man. That means you cannot say you love God that you don't see, and you say that you hate your brother that you can see. It's not possible. Likewise, also, you cannot say that you are serving God whom you don't see, and you don't fail to serve the fellow man. So serving God is a very core component of our Christian walk. And why? Because God makes us ministers to the body. The Bible says it was he that ascended. He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be, you know, prophets and teachers. And these are pastors and teachers, sorry. And these are for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Remember, the saints are the ones who do the works of service, the works of ministry, and this equipping is done by the fivefold ministers, you know, by these groups of the clergy that they teach the people. And so what we see is that only a few people are given that privilege of being the leaders. And that is why the Bible says he gave some. But the Bible says it is to edify the body, to build the body. They are there to teach the body so that we are conformed to the image of Christ, but also to prepare the church, to prepare the saints for the work of ministry. So they perfect the saints, and then they prepare them for the work of ministry. So the works of ministry, as I said, is serving God. But how do we serve God? We serve God by serving our fellow human beings. Now today we want to see this area of service, and this is where now we start to see the ministry of waiting on tables, and then we can also see the ministry of prayer and the word of God, where a distinction starts to happen. And remember, although Jesus had already chosen the 12 to be with him and to be apostles, but you see there were many other disciples. Remember, even when they were sent out, they were sent 72. There was a multitude of crowds. There were many disciples, and some deserted along the way. But you see, there was a core group of 12. Beyond that core group of 12, there was a core group of 3. Beyond that core group of 3, there was the disciple that Jesus loved. So there were different levels by which people were available to serve God. Now in Acts chapter 6, now the Bible says, now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, now remember, it's now gone beyond addition. Remember, we spoke about the levels of growth in the church, where we say that the Lord added to their number. And then we also saw that they were increasingly added. But then now we are seeing another principle where the disciples was multiplying. So they are moved from addition. They are moved from increasingly added by the Lord, and now they're in the place of multiplication. And I said that what brings multiplication is the teaching of the word of God. Remember in Acts chapter 5, as we concluded it, the Bible says that they went out from the temple after they had been beaten. They were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to have, you know, suffered for the gospel. And then they did not cease to teach and preach in the name of Jesus. So we can see the foundation that brings the multiplication is the teaching, is the discipleship. So evangelism should not be complete until we hand over that convert to a pastor to be a disciple. And when that disciple grows, then this disciple has the ability to make other disciples. That means that when we have made someone a disciple, when we call someone a disciple, then the point where we feel that they are mature is the point where we are now able to now tell them, now you do what I am doing. You see, when someone tells you, now I feel that you are now in the place where you can do what I am doing, that means that you have been discipled, and he feels that now at this point you have grown, and now you are able to also do something similar to what he's doing. It might not be at the same level, but as a student or as a disciple, in this lifelong journey of growth, then you are able to be tested. You are able to be given some responsibility. So ideally, as discipleship grows, then now you start to multiply. And now multiplication goes beyond just, is not just about adding 3,000 or 5,000 to their number. Multiplication now becomes in the replication. That means you can think of how the Bible says that Abraham divided himself among his, the members of his household, 318 men, that each of them was as Adam, or when God divides the spirit that was on Moses and puts the same spirit on the 70 elders, that means each of them had the same spirit that was on Moses, and they were able to judge as Moses will judge, and they were able, to be effective. Now, when we're saying we're multiplying disciples, now each of the disciples started to have the same capacity as the apostles. And this is what we see in Acts chapter 6, where there is the choosing of the 7. And now, and we'll see the characteristics. Now, the Bible says that now in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, now they started to multiply. That means they started to produce after their own kind. And, I love one analogy that says that it is the sheep that reproduce. It is not the shepherd that reproduces. So the shepherd builds the sheep, feeds them, provides for them, ensures they have the right, atmosphere, then the sheep multiply among themselves. So if we teach believers and we disciple them that they are able to be mature, they are able to witness, they are able to go out for, they are able to do the same things that you do as a leader, then you have multiplied yourself. And when you multiplied yourself, and you do that likewise, you go beyond addition. Now you go into the realm of multiplication. Now the Bible says there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, by the Greeks. That means because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. So remember, the church had, as they were distributing among to those who had need, they were now sharing food. But now as they were sharing food, what they realized is that there was some discrimination. And this is what the Greek widows complained against the Hebrew widows, because they were neglected in the daily distribution of food. Now verse 2 says, then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. That means, why should we leave the word of God and minister to tables? And remember, the apostles at this point were actually the ones who are not only preaching, but they were also, serving tables. And the Bible says, verse 3, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, and we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That means, instead of us coming to divide the food, instead of us coming to serve physical food, let us come and do the ministry of the word. Let us come and divide the spiritual word. Remember, the Bible says that study to show yourself a minister, as a workman approved of God, rightly dividing the word of truth. That means that you are able to divide it and to minister to others. When you start to read the word of God, one verse is enough for you to, you know, to teach over 30 minutes. Why? Because you are rightly dividing the word of God. And the Bible says, choose from among yourselves. And now they are even to call them brethren. And now that is telling you that they've gotten to the point where they've multiplied themselves, where they are confident that among you, you have men who are of good reputation, who have grown in character. That means the word of God has in them and they have grown in character. Remember, they had spoken about not appointing novices. You know, do not appoint a novice. Why? Because if he is appointed as a novice, he might easily get proud and fall into the temptation of the devil. So there's always a danger when we appoint people who are not yet mature in the faith. I mean, someone who has just gotten saved and immediately you want them to come to the altar, or someone who you know they are still shaking their salvation, you appoint them to the altar, I think it is still wrong. And, you know, usually, you know, when the church is growing, we usually a bit, we welcome everyone to come and join us and be part of it. But ideally, when people are many, rather that is when you now have to be now sensitive and you need to actually know what is someone's testimony, where are they coming from, and what makes them who they are, and why should they actually be allowed to serve the church. Because why? This is a ministry that is unto God. And remember how God was very concerned about those who serve him, the Levites. You know, those who will wait on table. He chose one tribe out of Israel that will be responsible to serve him. And even among the Levites, he has those who work in the outer court, and he has those who serve him in the inner court. And those ones who are, you know, sinning, those who are, you know, messing up, and those who do not keep his covenant, he does not sack them. He tells them, no, let them serve in the outer court and minister to the people. And this you can read in Ezekiel 44. He tells them, those who are misbehaving, let them minister to the people outside, to the needs of the people. Why? Because those people are coming for their own needs. And that's why God says, oh, those false prophets, let them still be there in the house, but let them minister to the people. Why? Because there are people who come to God for their own selfish reasons. And for when they come for their own selfish reasons, let them meet also those fake pastors or the fake Levites who will minister to their need. They can deal at their own level. But he says, but the faithful Levites, let them now minister to me. Let them be ministers to me in the inner court. And that tells you there are two distinctions of ministers to God. There are those who are, you know, who are false, who God still keeps and allows them to minister to people who are coming with their own lusts. Those ones, they will stay outer court. But then he has those who minister to God, and I usually call them throne room ministers. Now, he says, let's get back to where we are, verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And verse 7, which is core, which is the end result of what they did, the Bible says, then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied. And remember, that is what we spoke about, multiplication, which is different from addition. And the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So we see, it is not that the apostles feel that the waiting on tables is a law position. Why? Because they actually did it. They don't think that it is a low position. They did it. They did it willingly. But then they realize that they are being drawn away from their calling. They are being drawn away from what they should do, which is core, which is the ministry, prayer and the ministry of the word. And when they appointed 7 men with good reputation, born again, full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith, and they were able to wait on tables, then they were able to go back to the ministry of the word, and the Bible says the end result is that the word of God grew. and it spread, and the number of disciples multiplied. When we want multiplication of disciples, we understand we are a body. We need to serve in various roles. There are those who will do the worship. There are those who will do waiting on tables. There are those who will come and arrange, you know, decorate the room. There are those who will serve others. Why? Because at the end of the day, there are those who will do children ministry. We know and we want that the word of God to grow such that those that are God has given the gift to teach us will have time to focus. So everyone in the body of Christ has a reason to serve God and must find a place to serve God that they are effective. Remember, as I said, you cannot serve God without serving your fellow man. And we are here, you know, we are called to service, and this service results in multiplication, because when people are taught, then they can be multiplied. I think I'll stop there, and I pray that God will give us an insight into this aspect as we've shared today. My brother, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Manu. I think the message is clear. The conditions of choosing someone to be of service, that they need to be full of spirit and wisdom.
Yeah.
I think that was the guidance for the whole church, and I think it still applies today. So without being filled of spirit and the wisdom of God, may it be difficult to be in service of Christ, because then you struggle with who you serve. But with that, I just leave it at that in terms of the Lord.
Amen, amen. Yeah, thank you for emphasizing that. And I think, we need to apply it. And we need to, you know, even as a church, that, and now we're having many people come, we need to find out, are they full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom? Are they having a good reputation? Are they born again? And if we apply that, then God can help us tread carefully that we don't raise up, you know, they're called strange fires, before God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for your word this morning, that you've given us a chance to be alive, to wake up, and to be in your presence and to hear your word, O God. I thank you for a new day, that your hand, power, and presence goes ahead of us, keeps us, sustains us, watches over us, be our shield and portion, provide for our needs. We pray for those who are unwell, that your hand will keep them and touch them this morning. And indeed, whatever that we are to do today, you go ahead of us, grant us victory. We thank you for every blessing that you've poured upon us, O God, the blessing of life, the blessing of family, the blessing of children, the blessing of a good health, O God, that indeed all these are ours by faith, O God. And we thank you that let your word of God increase, and let us by faith be able to multiply disciples, O God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. We pray and believe. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed morning. Bye-bye.